Welcome to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 397. Still on that trek to number 400. With me tonight are Seth Zillman and Jared Aubrey, and tonight we will be talking wrestling news, AEW Dynamite, and WWE SmackDown. Fellas, how the hell are you?
Getting ready to talk a nice week of wrestling, so I'm not even going to bother to say anything witty. Just going to crack open a cold one and let's talk some wrestling.
These are the fun episodes because I've been busy with a dog with two noses, so I get to cold react to everything, so entertain me, Josh.
Oh, I'm going strictly off memory because I did not take a lot of notes. But we're going to test that memory, we're going to test that theory, and we'll see how this goes. So first, let's get into the wrestling headlines. JR, good old Jim Ross, believes that this will be his final year doing commentary. He did say that 2024 will likely be it. After all, he is 72.
I think most of us kind of expected him to ride off into the sunset after his last WWE go-round and obviously the loss of his wife and such. But it's nice to see that he'll probably be ending his career on his terms, you know, that he'll be calling it a career, not because people don't want to hire him or anything like that. So if that's the case, good for him.
Yeah, it's always great when you get to make that final decision and you're not forced away or taken away. So what a hell of a career this man's had. And, as great as it has been, it's going to be a pretty epic celebration for him, I think, when it's over. Well done, JR.
It is being reported that AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling's Forbidden Door 2024 will also feature CMLL talent and Stardom talent. Location is still to be determined.
So it'll be Forbidden Door and Fantascomania all tied up in one. For those who don't know, Fantascomania is the CMLL of New Japan crossover show, and Stardom is a Japanese women's promotion, which is where Mariah May came from.
Wow, let's stuff everyone onto one show. It's going to be 9 hours!
WWE talent in agreement with GCW to have talent appear on Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 10. The first participant announced is Shayna Baszler, Queen of Spades.
Yeah, if anybody needs more evidence that Vince is actually gone, or at least that he hasn't a say, this is it. Because this is one of those things I don't think it would have happened if Vince was still calling the shots. We know WWE's notorious for not wanting to work with too many promotions. And anything like this, it just heavily favors Bloodsport than it does WWE, naturally, because Bloodsport's not even a full-time promotion. It's special shows that Josh Barnett promotes. It's like a hybrid style. It's the matches are almost kind of like half shoots, if that makes any sense. It's like they're so stiff and so realistic that they're the guys you have to be legitimately tough just to take part in them. Hence why guys like Suzuki and Matt Riddle did it.
You might need to point me in the direction of these shows, fellas. Something I might like to watch.
Along those lines, it makes all the sense in the world that the former MMA fighter is the first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. She's perfect for it.
Now he just needs Sonya to... Oh. Well, let's get Ronda... Oh.
I was just going to do that.
Or we could do Brock... Oh.
Yeah.
Well, the time finally came on Wednesday, March 13th, AEW Dynamite Big Business in Boston, Mass. And just like CM Punk's debut, they wasted no time. And you had signs that were in the crowd, which looked like some of them were handed out. And we had this new kind of old music play, and then they put on the big screen the letters CEO. over and over and over and over again, to the point where the crowd was chanting along, CEO, CEO. And then the name splash of Mercedes Moné as she makes her debut in AEW. Now, the underlying music underneath the CEO chants sounded very familiar. Familiar to the point where I almost thought Imperium was debuting on AEW, because it's the exact same symphony that Imperium / Walter / Gunther used in NXT. And it's the same symphony that starts the beginning of Gunther's theme on the main roster. So
yeah, I think it's Dvorak, I want to say. I could be wrong, but
yeah, I don't think it is. Well, I'm not a symphony guy, but
yeah.
Yeah, so either way, I was laughing because I thought that was hilarious. And Mercedes debuts. She tells like a Cliff Notes version of her life story, and says why she chose All Elite and that she is All Elite. And on the big screen, they put up the graphic. I think it's the first time ever the graphic's actually been on the big screen. She thanks Tony Khan for the tweet of the official graphic. And she says she's here to mix it up with all the women in the locker room. And she starts by talking about tonight's main event, or the night's main event, as it was 2 nights ago now, of Willow Nightingale versus Riho. And when she says Willow's name, she looks down at her ankle because she says she has unfinished business with Willow. And if you remember, it was Willow in that match where Mercedes shattered her ankle. So, thoughts on the debut of Mercedes Moné?
I think it's what most of us were expecting, that she's basically going to show up and cut a promo. I know she came back at the end of the night, but that's almost exactly what I figured they were going to do. They're going to debut her. She was going to have the big hero's welcome in her hometown. She's going to establish that she's probably going to be a major player here, and then she left. So, yeah, no complaints on my end.
Oh, I was sitting here on mute, and I just had the most epic yawn in response to that. Jeez Louise.
Now, wait a second. You are the guy that said you didn't care for her that much, but you were interested to see how she debuted.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cookie cutter to me. Let me reiterate. There we go. The yawn came back.
As long as her 1 week is not, or, you know, week one is not, oh my God, amazing, she's there. And then by week two, it's like, she's just another woman.
Yeah, like certain other big signees that Hardy's turned into. They had the big reunion, and then a couple weeks later, they show up and wrestle and then leave.
Well, I don't want to get on another tangent, but that's half of that is Jeff's fault. But anyway,
yeah.
To confirm what Seth said, it is Dvorak Symphony Number 9.
Okay.
So there you go. Who would have thought that Mercedes AEW theme would be Gunther's old theme? Oh, boy.
Anyway. Tony spent way too much on everybody else's music, so he's going for the open source stuff.
Yeah. A lot of people online actually said her New Japan theme is more catchy, but to each their own, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I can't even remember it.
Yeah, that's how catchy it is.
Yeah, and I'm a New Japan guy, so.
Well, she's also been out for almost a year, so.
Yeah.
The second segment, first match on the card, was the AEW World Championship title match. Samoa Joe versus, oh my God, the so threatening Wardlow. And we must have a new champ, right? No, we don't. Joe retained. So why am I supposed to care about Wardlow again? Big bad guy.
And it was clean, too. Yeah.
Cut this huge promo. I'm going to kill everybody in this promotion till I'm world champ. And Joe put him to sleep. So once again, I don't know if the Rocket's upside down on Wardlow, but I still don't give a shit.
But he won this huge multi-person match to earn a shot.
Yeah, and it came and it went, and Joe's still the champ. So, yay, Wardlow. We had Hook and Chris Jericho defeat the Gates of Agony. They were backstage afterwards, and Jericho says he's impressed by Hook teaming with him, but now he wants to be impressed by Hook standing across from him. So next week, it will be Chris Jericho versus Hook.
Not sure I understand it, but I guess it's just the more he's in the ring with him, the more he'll know, or something to that effect.
Yeah, I don't know. They were calling this team, Lion Hook or something like that.
Christ.
Because it was the Lion Heart version of Chris Jericho. And I heard, I forget who it was, somebody on Busted Open said, You called them Lion Hook, but Hookico was standing right in front of you, and you couldn't. You can make it sound like a luchador. Jay White defeated Darby Allin. Post-match angle with the Bang Bang Gang splitting from the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, turning heel once more, taking out Darby, which we thought was because he was going away to climb Mount Everest, so they wrote him off television. But Darby himself revealed earlier today on Friday that he broke his foot at Big Business and will no longer be climbing Mount Everest this year.
Wow. First time hearing of it, so that it seems kind of odd, but I guess I don't really have much of an opinion on it because, like I said, I just heard it.
No matter how many times they hear about wrestlers suffering like big injuries, get broken foot, that's nothing to laugh at. And yet you still, you know, at the end of that, he still got up and walked around and cut a promo and stuff. It's like, geez, like, just stay down, folks, and get some help. Especially when you just dove off a ladder through a couple of plates of glass.
I was just going to say, plates of glass, no big deal. Broken foot, God damn it.
Yeah, pretty much.
The Elite of the Bucks of Adolescence and the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada, defeated Eddie Kingston, Pac, and Penta.
It's definitely going to take some getting used to seeing Okada wrestling every week. It's also kind of odd to see him as part of a stable instead of the head of a stable because he was the leader of Chaos for so long. But, you know, so far so good. I'm assuming he's probably going to beat Kingston for the Continental Crown. So I'm guessing that's the pay-per-view match.
Nope. It's next week.
It's okay, Seth. It's an alternate universe. You can be different things in different promotions. Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
but no, if it leads to him beating Kingston, yes, please.
Yeah, I think you're going to get your wish because it's happening this Wednesday, March 20th, in Toronto. So, and they've stressed that it's only for the Continental Crown Championship. So they should have also stressed that... put it in big flashing neon letters. Okada's winning the belt.
Yeah, I don't like that idea of it only being for one of the belts, but that's for reasons that are obvious.
And in the main event, Willow Nightingale continued to be undefeated in 2024 as she defeats Riho. Post-match, she was attacked by Julia Hart and Sky Blue, and the save was made by Mercedes Moné.
Yeah, my hunch is they're going to be buddies for a while until they have their match. We'll see if Stokely Hathaway gets involved because they're teasing the heel turns with him. But yeah, I'm assuming that'll be their pay-per-view match is Willow and Mercedes.
I need to have a yawn on my push-button board here.
I have a feeling Chris Statlander is going to turn heel and he'll be influenced by Stokely Hathaway.
Yeah, I think you're right.
The reason I say that is because Stokely and Chris came out with Willow in her intro and then went to the back. And when Willow was getting beat down, I was like, Chris, Chris, paging Chris. And she never came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, there was one of those post-show YouTube clips or whatever with Chris in medical getting attention, quote unquote. Oh, they jumped me backstage. The two of them, those bitches, they jumped me backstage, and that's why I couldn't come out and save you. I'm like, okay. Also, neon lights, I'm turning on you. It's like, let's make pretty all this safe really, bet. Really obvious. Well, that was Dynamite in a nutshell. What's interesting is there will be no Collision next week for reasons I do not know, unless it has to do with March Madness. That is possible. Because it does run on TNT. But they are going to do Rampage live immediately following Dynamite. So technically, it will be a 3-hour show on Wednesday of Dynamite and Rampage.
That's interesting.
Of course, they do that now when they don't do it. Well, maybe they will do it, but it hasn't been advertised for when it comes here. In just a month's time ish.
Jared's a little
but bitter. I'm not bitter.
Jared's a little bitter. They're in the wrong Canadian city next week.
Oh.
But see, The Rock's never said Winnipeg.
He should.
All right. Well, speaking of The Rock, SmackDown happened tonight. And it opened with The Rock in Memphis, Tennessee, where he essentially kind of quasi was a babyface because he spent some years in Memphis when he was honing his craft in that territory. And he even references, he asked the crowd, do you remember what The Rock's name was back then? And he says, Flex Cavana. I don't know what I was thinking, but I sure ran with it. And then he does not run down the crowd, although he does respond to several people report, you know, allegedly yelling out that they love him because he says, I love you too. Thank you for the support. Love you. He goes, The Rock. And then he says to one particular female, he says, The Rock loves you too. Sounds like someone The Rock would really love, desperate and horny. And I was like, damn. It was either desperate and horny or drunk and horny. I forget which, but it was funny nonetheless. Then we did The Rock's rock concert. So if you love this back in the day, you enjoyed this segment, I'm sure. I did not really care for it because I don't know. I didn't like it back then. I didn't like it now. The only thing that was good about this, at least he wasn't bagging on Vicky Guerrero. But he sings about Cody and Seth at Mania and what he's going to do. And he loops in Cody's mom, not as harshly as he did on the Instagram promo that he cut before SmackDown. And these are slowly becoming epic must-see promos on his social media. Things he can't say on SmackDown. Let's just leave it at that. So then he wraps up by, you know, saying what he's going to do at Mania, how Roman's going to retain, Cody's going to get his ass beat, blah, 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 blah. Rinse, repeat, etc. And he exits the ring. No Roman, no bloodline. Well, a little bit of the bloodline later on, but minimally at that. But they do say next week, Cody and Roman will go face-to-face on SmackDown.
Well, see, I got a question. And Josh,
42.
How could you not like the Rock concert where he's bagging on Vicky Guerrero?
that was
some of the funniest shit I have ever seen.
Well, let's just say it didn't age well.
I just saw that clip like 2 weeks ago and I still was slapping my leg. It was so funny.
Yeah. And, I guess, Jarrett, you and I are probably the only real, I shouldn't say real, but we're probably the the two most musically inclined guys. It sounded to me tonight like, for like the last go around, the last line of each verse, the note was supposed to go up to the fifth, I think, which in this case I think would have been B flat because it sounded like a song was an E flat. But I think the guitar player just kept playing E flat. I mean, it still works because it's the same key, but it just made it sound kind of monotonous.
Oh, well, I've got it queued up here on YouTube, so I'm going to have to check it out here shortly.
Yeah.
I'll confirm or fight you next week.
In the first match of the show, we had a six-pack qualifier bracket number one match. Even winning this match doesn't even get you to WrestleMania. It's a mini tournament, so to speak. And we had Legado del Fantasma defeat the LWO to qualify, at least to get to the next round of bracket number one. I don't know. They didn't really make this really clear, although they could have. I was fast-forwarding a lot, so we'll see.
Oh, so they had the two factions of Mexican or Puerto Rican guys going at it?
Yeah, it was crazy. They're actually feuding. Mm-hmm. It was so random.
Isn't this the match where it's like, sorry, is this to get into the ladder match?
Yeah, at Mania. But yeah. Just yeah. Winning this match tonight did not get you to Mania. It gets you to the next bracket.
Yikes.
They must think there's enough time to run all these matches leading up to Mania. We had an LA...
Sorry, Josh. So they're probably running both from Raw and SmackDown.
Well, yeah, but we're running out of weeks. I mean, I could understand if it was a qualifier, you win, you're in, but no, it's win and move on. And I'm like, you should have started this in February then. So as we move through SmackDown, we were going to quickly realize that this was the SmackDown where more Mania matches were confirmed, as LA Knight had a promo segment where he challenges AJ Styles for WrestleMania. And he made it seem like AJ was not in the building tonight because he was calling him out and nothing ever happened. And then he hits his catchphrase, and of course, AJ comes running down the aisle with a chair, whacks him in the back, sets the chair up on his chest, sits on it, and says, "I accept." So we have LA Knight versus AJ made for Mania.
And I guess the reason why it took so long for AJ is because he ran all the way back from Australia.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, this is one I look forward to. This will be fun.
Yeah, the promos alone should get to make it exciting. Backstage with Kayla Braxton, she asks the Bloodline if they have any response to Jey Uso's challenge. Jimmy basically has a promo coronary because he gets real loud and amped right in the face of the camera. And he basically accepts Jay's challenge with a whole bunch of other rigmarole of him being the big brother, Jay being the little brother, and now he'll beat down his little bro at Mania. Yay for the match. The build has been meh. And considering the players involved, it shouldn't have to be that way.
Yeah, I have just my own opinions. It's just brother versus brother stories, with the exception of, I think, Brett and Owen. It hasn't been very appealing. Just one man's opinion.
Well, and that's sad, too, because they had this whole, you know, their whole tag team history, the whole Bloodline history to draw on for this, and they've just completely shot the bed with it. Like, this should be an epic story that they're telling.
And it's not.
No.
Anyway, moving on. Randy Orton defeats Grayson Waller. And afterwards, he's jumped by Waller and Theory. And Kevin Owens makes the save. And Nick Aldis comes out at the end because Logan Paul was on commentary. He makes it official for Mania. Seth is going to love this. For the United States title in a triple threat match, It'll be LP versus KO versus RKO.
It's amazing how Austin Theory has gone from the chosen U.S. champion to Grayson Waller's lackey.
We had Santos Escobar taking on Dragon Lee. I'm not sure what the finish was because I was trying to rush through the show to make sure I got it all in before we started. But I know post-match there was a beatdown by Legado del Fantasma on Dragon Lee. Carlito came out and he got his ass beat. And then Rey Mysterio came out and Santos took a powder. And Rey challenged Santos to a one-on-one match at SmackDown next week. So just when we thought we were getting that at Mania, nope. Is it SmackDown WrestleMania? Nope. Just SmackDown next week. In the other half of the six-pack qualifier bracket number one, the New Catch Republic defeated Pretty Deadly and will take on Legado del Fantasma in the next round.
More yawning.
And in the main event, and Jarrett's going to love this.
Oh, no.
Bayley defeated Dakota Kai by disqualification when Damage Control attacks Bayley at the end. And who's there to make the save for Bayley? It's Jarrett's other favorite, Naomi.
Oh, for the love of Pete.
And she gets beat down and basically damaged. I was trying to combine Damage Control and Dakota Kai in my head. Damage Control stands tall at the end to close the show. Heels standing tall.
Sounds like we need a tag match there. Play a holla.
Yes, because 2-on-4 is wonderful. And the funny thing is the crowd had two good chants. When Bayley was on the offense and beating Dakota, the crowd was chanting, "Whoop that trick." And I'm like, while it fits here, might be a little insulting. But,
Jesus.
And then after Naomi came out, was getting beaten down, the crowd was going, "EST, EST." And I'm like, Bianca, don't give two shits. So, yeah.
Zero is the number of fucks she gives.
Yeah, right. Or as The Rock said in his Instagram promo, yep, off is the direction you can fuck in.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was drawing off, but yeah, I love it.
Oh, Rock. Swearing up a storm on socials.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
All right. Well, that was SmackDown. Any final thoughts?
That was a good show all around. And as we already know, I liked Dynamite a whole lot as well. So good week of wrestling. Good shows to go over.
I should look forward to yawning and fast-forwarding through a lot of this and picking out some of the good stuff.
All right. Well, our next episode will probably be our Raw and NXT review next week. I know we're skipping AEW for the weekend, but it's been a lot of meh the last couple of weeks, and it's not even on next. Collision's not even on next week, so we'll save the AEW talk for the night of 3 hours when we get Dynamite and Rampage back to back. So until then, once again, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing. We will talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter/X. At TWBP Show, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at The Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter /X at TheBaconRev. You can follow Seth at LordZandrax. And you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from the Wrestling Brethren.